إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، Welcome all of you. And we continue these classes from the explanation of important lessons for our Muslims. شرح الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة فضيلة الشيخ الوالي عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله. Class number 12. اليوم السادس عشر من ربيع الأول لعام 33,400,000 16th of ربيع الأول of the year 1432 of the هجرة the 8th of February 2012 The pillars of faith أركان الإيمان There are six pillars of faith to believe in أركان الإيمان ستة أركان الإيمان ستة to believe in Allah الإيمان بالله والإيمان بملائكته to believe in his angels والإيمان بكتبه to believe in his books والإيمان برسله to believe in his messengers والإيمان باليوم الآخر to believe in the last day والإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره the divine preordainment to believe in the divine preordainment and that the good and the bad of it are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala But before discussing the different pillars of faith, we began with the following introduction. Number one, the difference between Islam and Iman, faith. Islam and Iman are terms that include the entire religion. So they include the entire religion, Islam and Iman. When they are mentioned together in one place, what do we mean with one place? Meaning in one ayah or one hadith. When you find the ayah that mentioned both Islam and Iman, or a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned in the same hadith, Islam and Iman, then Islam means the outwardly performed deeds, while Iman refers to the affairs of the inside, such as belief. As Allah سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat that's chapter 49 ayah 14 قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا The Bedouins the Arab Bedouins say we believe say you didn't believe but you only say We have surrendered in Islam. We have surrendered in Islam. And also in the famous hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salam, the hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, on the authority of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And this is the second hadith in the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah. عمر رضي الله عنه سأل: بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is how the hadith began. One day as we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, a man appeared before us. They were sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, حفظه الله, when he explained this hadith, because he explained the 40 hadith. He says this shows the modesty of the Prophet ﷺ, and that he used to sit with his companions. And people, it was easy for people to sit with the Prophet ﷺ, unlike some arrogant people these days, or they sit only with certain people. But the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't have bodyguards. You don't need invitation to sit. No. Prophet ﷺ, he was modest, humble. And the people, they used to benefit a lot by being around the Prophet ﷺ. They learn from his guidance, from his manners. And also, if they have questions, they will ask. And when somebody asks question, it's a great opportunity for others who are around him to learn from the answer the Prophet ﷺ gives to those people who ask questions. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, one of those times when we were like that, sitting around the Prophet ﷺ, a man came. And this man, he's not one of the companions. They don't know him. As Umar is going to explain, he says, a man appeared before us. He had on him a garment that was pure white, very white and clean, and his hair was pure black, though no sign of trouble was upon him. Not one of us knew this man. He sat directly in front of the Prophet ﷺ, making his knees touch those of the Prophet ﷺ, and placing his hands on his thighs. Here in this book it says on the thighs of the Prophet ﷺ, but actually Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan hafidahullah ta'ala, he says actually he put his thighs on his the thighs of that man, not the thighs of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, so in the book here, on page 141, the English translation, this is, and placing his hands on the Prophet's thighs. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidahullah, when he explained this, he says, actually, that man, yes, he sat so close to the Prophet ﷺ, that his knees touched the knees of the Prophet ﷺ. But that man, right, he put his hands on his thighs like this, okay? On his thighs. Show me an example like that. Sheikh Fawzan said he didn't put it on the thighs of the Prophet sallam. And then he said, that man, he says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inform me about Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Islamu an tashhad an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa tuqim as-salat wa tu'ti az-zakah وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. Islam is to bear witness that man has the right to be worshipped by Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. To establish the prayer, to give the zakat, to fast Ramadan, to perform al-hajj to the house, the Kaaba, for whoever is able to do so. That man who asked the question said to the Prophet ﷺ, you have spoken the truth. You have answered correctly. Umar said, we were amazed at him because he asked a question and then affirmed the truthfulness of the answer. Usually a person answers a question wants to know, but this man, he knows the answer. Then that man says, inform me about Iman. faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An tu'mina billahi Abdullah ta'ala, an tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawm al akhir wa tu'mina bil qadari khayrihi wa sharrihi." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Iman is that you believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, meaning the day of judgment, and to believe in divine preordainment, al-qadr, the good of it and the bad of it." The man once again said to the Prophet, "You have answered correctly, or you have spoken the truth." أحسنت يا إدريس بارك الله فيك جزاك الله خير. So the man once again, after the Prophet ﷺ gave him this answer to the question about Iman, he said, "You have spoken correctly. You have answered correctly and spoken the truth." Then the same man asked the Prophet ﷺ a third question. "Inform me about Ihsan." What is Ihsan? "Inform me about Ihsan." Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet's answer was to the question, "Al-Ihsan an ta'buda Allaha ka'annaka tarahu, fa'in lam takun tarahu, fa'innahu yarak." Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you see Him. Although you don't see Him, yet Allah indeed sees you. And then that man said to the Prophet, "Inform me about the hour." Another question, fourth question. The Prophet answered him, "Mal mas'oolu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il." The one who is asked, meaning the Prophet, doesn't know more about it than the one who's asking. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling him, "You and me both, we have no answer to this question. We don't know when the hour will take place, because that's only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of when the hour is one of the things that only Allah knows. For example, other things that only Allah knows is, and He didn't teach any of the creation, not even the angels or the prophets or the messengers, is when everybody is going to die, or what place. Nobody knows when they're going to die or where. They don't." And then that man asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "So inform me about the signs of the hour." So, okay, we both don't know when it's going to take place, but inform me about some of its signs. فَقَالَ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَن تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا وَأَن تَرَى الْحُفَاةَ الْعُرَاةَ الْعَالَةَ رُعَاةَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. That a slave girl will give birth to her female masters, and you will see the barefooted, naked, poor guardians of sheep, like shepherds, competing in constructing buildings. Then that man, after he asked these questions, he laughed. And then he says, after a while, the Prophet ﷺ said to me, to Umar, "Ya Umar, atadri man isa'il?" O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? Do you know that man who came and was asking those questions? Umar radiallahu anhu says, "Allah and His Messenger know best." See, this is the companions. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, if they don't know, they say, "We don't know. Allah know best and the Messenger ﷺ know best." And we need to learn from this too. If we are asked about something in Islam, If we don't know it, we don't say anything, okay? Say Allahu A'lam, which means Allah know best. Allahu A'lam. But if you already learn it and you study it in a book from the ulama, from the scholars, then you can tell the person, oh yes, I read in this book, I heard in this class, Sheikh so and so said, and this from the ulama. But if we don't know, we say Allahu A'lam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Umar, فَإِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Indeed, he was Jibreel عليه السلام, the angel Jibreel, coming to teach you your religion. Once again, this hadith is recorded by Imam Muslim, hadith number 8 in Sahih Muslim. It's easy to find. So, yes, Jibreel alayhi salam, he came in the form of a man. As Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan says, because if he came in his natural form that Allah created him upon, the people would be afraid, scared. And Jibreel, because he's a mighty creation. As once the Prophet ﷺ, he says, I saw him and he has 600 wings. He has, blocked the whole horizon. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him in the form of a man, so that the people don't panic. Because when a man passes in front of you, it's okay. But sometimes it's a tiger passing in front of you. Can you imagine? I'm just going to give you an example to understand this. Now when you go to the masjid, okay, in Jumu'ah for example, you go to pray, like you're reading the Quran, or you are praying, and then another person, another man passes next to you. Do you panic? No, you don't. Well, now, can you imagine you're in the masjid reading Quran, waiting for the salat or waiting for the khutbah on Jumu'ah, and a lion or a tiger, right? Pass right in front of you. Is this normal? You will panic, right? I just gave that example. So if Jibreel alayhi salam came in his natural form that Allah created him, people, they will panic because they are not used to see angels. Okay? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent Jibreel alayhi salam in the form of a man, be easy for the people, alhamdulillah, so they do not panic, alhamdulillah, they are not scared, and they can benefit. So, the two words, Islam and Iman, appear separately. Then each of them carries the meaning of the other. So see now, in the first narration, in this narration, and the first ayah, when Islam and Iman, they are mentioned in one text, both of them. Because in this hadith, Jibreel alayhi salam, he asked about Islam and he asked about Iman. So the ulama, the scholar, they says, if in a text you will find Islam and Iman, they mention together, so they have two different meanings. Okay? They have two different meanings. Right, Idris? Two different meanings. And Islam means the thing that we do outwardly, like Salat, like Hajj and the like. And Iman means the actions of the heart. But if these two words, Islam and Iman, appear separately, meaning you will find, for example, in the ayah, Allah mentioned only one of them, Islam or Iman, not together. Then, if Islam is mentioned alone, it includes Iman. And if Iman is mentioned by itself, it includes Islam. As the ulama, and we heard from them, I heard Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhahullah Ta'ala Al-Madkhali, he said, إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ افْتَرَقَ يعني الإسلام والإيمان افترقا في المعنى وإذا افترقا اجتمعا يعني في المعنى. So when they both mentioned in the same text, they have two different meanings. But if only one of them is mentioned in the text, so it includes the other one who is not mentioned. For instance, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, ayah 19, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ Truly the religion with Allah is Islam. Truly the religion with Allah is Islam. See, here Allah says Islam. Allah didn't say, truly the religion with Allah is Islam and Iman. Right? So here, only Islam is mentioned. Iman is not mentioned in here. So here, Allah Almighty described Islam as being the religion. With both its outward and inward legislation. So here, it includes Iman also, the actions of Iman, of faith. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explained Iman to the delegation of Abdul Qais with the same meaning that Islam is given to the above mentioned hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. Delegation meaning a group of people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to call people to Islam. And that's the job of the messengers. The messengers, they were called and sent as a mercy to mankind. Call the people to worship Allah. Because if they worship Allah sincerely, people, alhamdulillah, they will have a good life, and yet they will be in the paradise, in the hereafter. So, sometimes, not just one person come to the Prophet ﷺ and ask about Islam, sometimes a delegation. What do you mean a delegation? A group of people, they are selected by a village or by an area, and they told them, you go and talk to this man who says he's a messenger, go talk to him, see what he has to say, and bring back to us. You know, that's a delegation. They choose, instead the whole village of 300 or 500 or 1,000 people go. No, they just send maybe 10 of them, or 5, or and they choose the best amongst them. They said, go talk to him, see what he has to present. If something good, alhamdulillah, he wants good things for ourselves. So one of those delegations is called Delegation of Abdul Qais. So when the Prophet ﷺ talks to them about Iman, he explained to Iman in the same way he has explained Islam in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered them to have faith in Allah alone. After which he says, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said you have to believe in Allah alone. Because the Arabs at that time, they used to believe in Allah. Because Allah said to us in many places in the Quran, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ. If you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, if you were to ask who created them, if you were to ask them who sent down rain, all of these questions, they said Allah. So they believe in Allah. But in the same time, they associate partners with him. Idols, false gods. Right, Abdullah? False gods. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, look, you got to believe in Allah alone. I know you believe in Allah, but in the same time you believe in other gods. No, you got to believe in Allah alone. That's the only correct way. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to them, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ? Do you know what does it mean to believe in Allah alone? They answered, Allah and His Messenger know this. To these people, they know who is talking to them. They say, Allah and His Messenger know best. And once again, this is very important for us. We should not speak without knowledge. We should learn first. And then, inshallah, once we learn correctly and we understood it properly from the proper sources, not just from any place, and we act upon it ourselves, because we have to benefit ourselves first, we act upon it correctly, sincerely for Allah, not for anything else, then inshallah ta'ala we may help others inshallah ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ, he answered them and said to them, Iman is shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah ﷺ wa iqami salat wa ita'i zakat wa siyami Ramadan. That you bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To establish the prayer, to give the zakat, to fast Ramadan. We also can appreciate the fact that they have the same meaning when mentioned alone from the hadith that discusses the branches of faith. There is a hadith that mentions the branches of faith. Shu'abul Iman. Shu'abul Iman. The branches of faith. In that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, A'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah wa adnaha imatatu al-adha an al-tariq. When the Prophet ﷺ, he talks about Shu'abul Iman, the branches of the faith, he says, the highest of them is the saying, La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. That's the highest of the branches of Iman. And the lowest of them is to remove something harmful from the road. That's the lowest. Like you're walking and you see a nail. And you know somebody may step on it and get hurt. A bike, a car may run over it and get a flat tire and the like. Likewise, you see a branch fall off a tree and cut off the road. If you can move it, alhamdulillah, you move it. But if it's too heavy, you ask for help. Because this is from Iman. This is from Iman. The different branches of faith that are between the highest and the lowest will necessarily include both outward and inward deeds. So this is the highest level, is to say La ilaha illallah, and this is from Iman, to say La ilaha illallah, to believe in Allah is the first pillar of Iman. To remove the harmful things from the road, that's from Islam, from actions. And between these two, there is so many actions of the heart and of the tongue and of the limbs. Also, it should be known that outward deeds are not called Islam unless basic belief and faith are first present. If the basic faith is not first present in someone, then even with his deeds, he becomes a hypocrite. Both outwardly manifest deeds and belief with conviction in the heart are obligatory. One cannot be separated from the other. So this is very important. Iman and Islam, they go together. If somebody just say, okay, I believe in Allah on the last day, but he don't pray, smoke cigarettes, fight, cheat, lie, steal, a man shave his beard, drag his pants, a woman doesn't want to cover properly, she go in the streets and mix with men, and her hair is exposed and her body exposed. This is not enough. Alright? They believe, but they have to do righteous deeds. Also, you may find somebody, they doing good deeds. They don't lie, they nice, they kind, they don't cheat, they don't backbite anybody, they don't steal no one's money, they don't harm anybody, but they don't believe in Allah. That's no good for them either. So the only one that benefit is the one who do the both. He believe with his heart, but also acts upon that belief. The hypocrites, the munafiqun, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they said with their tongue, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They pray with the Messenger ﷺ. They did actions of worship, but their hearts, they have no iman in their hearts. Allah knows them. And that's why they are hypocrites. One cannot complete the Islam and faith that are obligatory unless he obeys Allah's commands and avoids his prohibitions. These are the things that help us to, inshallah, to complete and achieve the completion of Iman and Islam. How? By obeying Allah, by acting upon the commands and staying away from the prohibitions, by acting upon the commands of Allah to the best of our abilities, and by avoiding prohibitions. Alhamdulillah. Khud daftar huna. Notebook. أعينه يا أخي بارك الله فيك. طيب. So this was gonna help us, إن شاء الله تعالى, to increase in iman, and so your Islam gets stronger and stronger. And our iman increased through obedience to Allah, by doing what Allah commands us to do, and by trying our best. Even if sometimes we feel short, we don't do it the right way, we shouldn't give up, we should not despair, but rather we try our best. So one cannot complete the Islam and faith that are obligatory unless that person, whether it be he or she, obeys الحمد لله فيكم الله سبحانه وتعالى. Unless that person, whether be he or she, obeys the commands of Allah and avoid his prohibitions. If one truly wishes completeness, which implies that there are degrees to deeds and belief, then that person must increase in faith and perform many voluntary deeds. That's very important, to do righteous deeds. And the best and the first of the righteous deeds that we have to take care of is to fulfill what Allah has made obligatory upon us. And then gradually we perform the optional acts of worship and voluntary acts of worship. Another point now, the definition of iman. First, its meaning in Arabic language, belief that necessitates both acceptance and submission. That's the definition of iman, but in the Arabic language, not in the Sharia, in the legislation. In the Arabic language, it means belief that necessitates both acceptance and submission. This may be one of the questions in the test. Okay? This may be one of the questions in the test. The meaning of iman in Sharia, in the legislation, believe in the heart, acknowledgments with the tongue, and action with the limbs. It increases through obedience and decreases with sins and disobedience. يعني اعتقاد القلب وقول اللسان وعمل الجوارح يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالمعصية. So this is the correct definition of iman. This is the definition of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The people of Bid'ah and innovations, different sects who follow their desires and innovations and do not follow the way of As-Salaf As-Salih, they have different definitions. Some of them say that iman is just belief in the heart, that's it. Pray, don't pray, fast, don't fast, doesn't matter, you're still okay. And this is wrong. But the true definition of iman is this one. You have to have a correct belief in your heart, and you have to say it with your tongue, and you have to do righteous actions. And that iman is not always the same. Not all the people are on the same level of faith. So therefore, iman go up and go down, increases and decreases. What make it increase? Money? No. Obedience to Allah. The more a person is obedient to Allah and doing good things, firstly by fulfilling and preserving what Allah made obligatory, and then increasing in voluntary and optional actions, you find that person iman increases. As iman increases, and likewise, if a person is negligent, if a person is not practicing correctly, then that person iman will decrease and we will go down gradually. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in iman and allow us to do that which is right, and allow us and make it easy for us to be obedient to Him, to follow His commands and the commands of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to stay away from prohibitions, what He may prohibit it. We're going to stop here inshaAllah ta'ala. We will continue next class tomorrow inshaAllah ta'ala. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.